I'm just curious. This past week, I was getting ready and doing a lot of praying and thinking about this service and the message I have. I got to look at Dusty's logo, and Dusty's an incredible artist, and I thought, wow, the sermons that he preached in this series are on the green side. The ones I get to preach are on the dead side. And then I looked at it a little more. I thought, look at the top. That's all lush and green, and it's large up top. Well, the other one's larger at the bottom. So is it when you get old, gravity kicks in and everything drops down? Is that what he's trying to tell me? It's like, yeah, I wonder if that's more a comparison to Dusty and I. I don't know. I'm going to have to get after him on that one. Pray for Dusty this week. He's going through a syndrome that a lot of preachers have. He's already texted me 3 times this morning. Hey, praying for you. Hope everything goes well. What's going on now? Go back to bed. You're on vacation. Leave us alone and forget about us. Get away from here. You know, so pray for him that he can, after today and Sunday's over, he'll take a deep breath and just enjoy the time with his family as they're down there in Florida going to Rat World. I mean, Disneyland. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. But he's down there. He's going to enjoy himself, I hope, and he just gets away and relaxes with the boys and Jess. So, this is one of the most challenging sermons I've ever had to write. Oh, by the way, armchair psychologist from First Service told me when I stand up front and I cross my arms, I'm hiding something. Reality is when you're a presenter, you don't know what to do with your arms, and you find a place of comfort and a thoughtful position. So anyway, back to where we're at. This topic is very difficult. Because this week when I had a few phone calls and I was talking to people, I said, here's my topic. It's dealing with aging parents or coping with aging parents in contrast with honor your mother and father. First person I talked to says, oh, I hate my dad. The only reason I do anything for that man is because I promised my mother I would before she died. Yeah. So just another person later in the week, I was talking to them, says, oh, I don't have to deal with that. My parents are dead, and I'm glad. Nice. This topic will dive into our emotions, and we all have thoughts and pictures of who our parents were and what they were. And in some cases, it brings up some horrible memories. In other places, they're very joyous memories. You know, I know several families have just great relationships with their children, and it's a good balance back and forth, and I'm thrilled with that. But nevertheless, I come to a passage of Scripture, and I'm just going to share with it. Now, this, for me to share this to get the right context of it, we need to go back a long time ago. You all, I want you to kind of be the audience when Moses walked down from the mountain and presented this. Now, there was one small problem. When Moses came down, you guys had really messed up and built an idol that you weren't supposed to. But anyway, we'll get over that part. We'll deal with this that part later. And you're going to hear from God's Word as Moses brought it down. And I just want to share with you, Moses writes this. He says, and the God spoke all these words. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself any idols. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. Remember the Sabbath. Keep it holy. Honor your mother and father. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false testimony against your neighbor. You shall not covet. Interesting enough, I didn't think it went like this. You shouldn't do this. You shouldn't do that. You remember God. And now I want all the children to come forward. We're going to have a flannel graph moment. honor your mother and father. See, here's mommy, here's daddy, honor them, and you have long life. I don't see Moses stopping and calling all the kids forward and having a flannel graph moment, do you? It was a commandment that when he spoke to the adults and said, adults, honor your father and mother. Interesting enough, when you look at Jewish law, there is built into their system and their customs and traditions of how when an aging parent gets older, how the children are to continue honoring them. And then you watch a transition by the oldest child being the caretaker of the mother and the father. Interesting enough, this wasn't, hey, you know, honor your mom and dad when you want to. I try to read these in a different light. Have no gods before me unless you find one that's convenient for you. Make no idols unless they're really fancy. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord's in vain unless you stub your toe. Remember the Sabbath when it's convenient and there's no soccer games. Honor your mother and father when they're kind and nice and loving to you. Shall not murder unless they deserve it. Shall not commit adultery unless they're better looking than your spouse. You shall not steal unless you won't get caught. You shall not bear false testimony against your neighbor unless it gets you out of trouble. And don't covet what your neighbor has unless you really deserve it and you should take it from them. You go back to the one earlier. So we read these and we go, oh, well, there's options. You know, we only have to follow them on occasion when it's convenient for me. But in reality, this is God speaking to us and he's saying, this is a commandment that I give to you. And what I've learned in that, when he speaks to you, nobody else is involved. It doesn't matter what your mom and dad did or did not do. It's a commandment of God. We need to understand honoring as a command, as God's command. It's not based on merit. Well, my mom and dad yelled at me. They screamed at me. Folks, let me tell you, I grew up in a military home. My dad died when I was 3. My mom remarried a Marine sergeant, did 2 tours of Vietnam, stepped on a landmine, and still walked away. He was a tough dude. I remember having reminders on my backside that lasted weeks. Doesn't matter what they did or did not do. Because the commandment's not to them, it's to you. And I can tell you stories, folks. I pull up a chair and tell you all about my upbringing. My dad had stuff, tough discipline. My mom wasn't much better, let me tell you. And they said something, said, well, it could be because the attitude of the child. I was innocent. I tell you that. I only did half the stuff they caught me for. Reality is, this God's writing to you. And he's saying, you need to understand that this is from you to me. Your relationship from God to you is what's going on here. It has nothing to do with anybody else. When you're in the right relationship with God, it doesn't matter how wonderful your parents are or how horrible they were, what they did to you or did not do. This is about your relationship with God is why we honor parents. And that's a tough one. Because, see, I know about situations that we have a rampant cases of child abuse, physical and mental, and sexual. I know when I looked at an audience of this size, I will deal with all those issues. We have issues of divorce where I don't even know my parents because I don't have any time with them. I live with this one, I live with that one. And that's why it's very clear that we have to understand that God commands this, and it's not based on who they are or what they've done. It's not on merit. It's on God's word and my relationship to him. It's not on that I desire a relationship or I don't desire. It's not based on how close I am or how far I am from my parents. It's simply based on your relationship to God. It's not even based on duty. That one person I spoke with said, I do it out of duty. That's not it. And that's, if I could only read your mind, Lisa, which I can, No, I won't. I won't say that up here. They made, she was making fun of a word I just used. Think about it. It's based on our relationship to God. And that's tough. That is difficult to deal with. Because we want to say, but look what they did or they did not do. I understand that there are barriers to honor. Anger and resentment is one of the greater barriers. And you could be mad. You could be angry. You could dislike. You could even disapprove of some of the actions. But I've learned this a long time ago. When you're mad and you're angry and you're harboring a grudge, who does that affect? You. Not them. Not the person you're mad or angry about. They don't even know it most of the time. They're going to go through life going, woohoo, life's great. And you're going, argh. I used to say I'm not a grudge holder. I used to believe I'm not a grudge holder. And I'm really good at not holding grudges. But a situation happened a few years back to one of my kids, and I never interacted with the person that did it. And I was mad. I didn't go confront, and I was mad. And I drive by their house days, weeks, months, and I stare at their house and think, how dare they? And I get all mad driving. You know, what did I receive from that? Well, I got high blood pressure. I got, you know, it all affected me because of what they did. And it wasn't right. Something I had to learn, something I had to wrestle with. Because I was affecting my relationship to God. Because when I am that angry and that aggravated, I don't think, oh, praise Jesus, I just love God today. I'm thinking, man, I could mold off cocktail in the garage, you know, they'll move. You know, that's horrible. But you start thinking of things that are destructive. You allow a niche where Satan could come in and start stirring up your life and start walking you and guiding you away from where God desires you to be. That destroys your relationship to God when you permit those things to continue on in your life. That's a barrier. Also, another barrier is real simple. We've become a very mobile society. First service, this was interesting. I said, how many of you have children that live out of state? Raise your hand. I'm looking at some. How many of you live away from your parents in this group? Some of you. Well, not. Kurt, you live out in Brookville. It's not that far away. Time and distance. See, the barrier is time and distance. You know, we live away from our folks. When I moved out after high school, I went to college in Kentucky, moved to Indianapolis. I've never lived in the same state that my parents lived in since I left high school. And it gets real easy to, I'll talk to them later. I visit them some other time. And I'll be honest, when I realized this issue, it wasn't until I was standing at the funeral home and my dad was behind me, and I realized I missed a lot of time, a lot of interaction. There's days and trips I didn't, holidays I didn't go visit, times I didn't call. And from that very next day, I started calling my mother every day, every single day to speak to her. It didn't matter. For 2.5 years, I called my mother every day until she passed. Because I realized what I missed. Because of time and distance, I'm too busy, I live too far away, I do it tomorrow. I'll be up to visit sometime. And I realized I had a responsibility based on what God told me to honor my mother and father and to keep a relationship going in spite of whatever may have happened. Folks, we need to understand how to restore honor begins. Restoring honor begins. The first one's the toughest one. I tell you that. It simply says, forgive their transgressions.
Folks, there was not a book on how to raise kids. Your parents did not know what they were doing when you entered this world. Just as you, many of you don't know what you're doing with the kids you got. I have a senior in high school, and I tell you, I'm thrilled that he's still alive. And we're talking about my youngest son, Jonathan, who's a sophomore, and I start realizing things I did with them, and again, thrilled that he's alive. I couldn't believe Kim yelled at me a few years back because I was riding on a motorcycle. It's a dirt bike in a yard, and Jonathan and I had shorts. He had no shoes on, no helmet, and I was jumping the hills, getting airborne with him on it. And she's like, "You can't do that." Yeah, I did. Didn't you see it? It was cool. He loved it. Yeah, we will all and have all made mistakes, and our parents were not perfect by far. And there's sometimes we need to say, "I forgive him." A little interesting passage in Matthew 18. It's about two servants. The first one gets called in by the king, and king says, "You owe me a gazillion dollars." And he says, "Oh, I ain't got it. I got a family. Please forgive me." King says, "Good enough. You're forgiven." The little servant runs out and grabs this other guy by the throat, starts strangling him, says, "Hey, you owe me three pennies. Pay me now." He says, "I ain't got it. Forgive me. Go to jail." What happened to that first guy? Do you know the story? You know the story, don't you? Where did he end up? In jail. The king said, "Dude, as you forgive others, I will forgive you. Head to jail." God has that same principle. Now let's think. If I'm harboring ill will towards my parents for things that they have done, I'm not forgiving them, how do I stand now? Because have I ever sinned against God? Yeah. I don't want that same punishment. I desire to be in an intimate, loving relationship with my God. He has given me forgiveness of sin. Before I ever walked this earth, all I had to do is accept it. Why will I not forgive those who have sinned against me? It doesn't make sense. That's why the first one's tough. The second one's even a little, it's not as tough, but it's difficult. Extend mercy. Don't give them what they deserve. Extend mercy. See, if they've done evil, you want to repay evil for evil. And that's what we love to do. Don't do it. Be kind. Be gentle. Be loving. But they don't deserve it. That's okay. It doesn't matter. A lot of us get stuck in the past, and we need to move on. Oh, did I say that first one was tough? This one here is even tougher. If your parents don't know the Lord, share the gospel message. Let them know the Lord that you know. Let them in on your secret, that all the stuff that's in their lives that they're still holding on to can be gone and be forgiven by the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that would be awesome. But interesting enough, the scripture I found for this one, "Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, falsely say all kinds of things and evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is a reward in heaven. For in the same way, they persecuted the prophets who were before you." Folks, I can tell you a story. Witnessing and sharing the gospel message to your own family that doesn't know Jesus really is difficult. They will say all kinds of evil and mean things to you. They will think you're crazy. I could verify that. I remember getting my letter from Kentucky Christian University, which used to be college way back in the day. And I was so excited. I was accepted to Bible college. I was going on my way to become a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And my dad says, "They brainwashed you, didn't they?" Not exactly that support I was looking for. You know, that, "Wow, go kid." And then the next one was that, "By the way, since you made this ridiculous choice, it's all on you. We're not giving you a dime." Hey, I can tell you this, they were true to their word. Not dying for college. But I also could tell you, through prayer and persistence, on March 20th, 1988, when I was ordained at my home church, My dad sat in the pew, and he came up when it was all said and done, gave me the biggest hug. He said, I am so proud of you. It took time. It hurt at times. But it took time. Give them the gospel. Share the gospel. Simple one, appreciate the good things. Look at the good things going on in their lives. Do acts of kindness. Speak kindly. Likewise, the tongue is the smallest part of the body, but makes a great boast. Consider what a great forest is set afire by a small spark. Remember this one in just a moment when I share another one. This, it plays into this one. Write a tribute. Take time and write what's wonderful about your parents. Honor them. Pray for the parents that mistreated you. Luke chapter 6, verse 28. Many of you may note this. Bless those who curse you and pray for those who mistreat you. God said it. But here's a tough one. Teach your children to honor and extend mercy to their grandparents. Remember that little speak kindly? Teach your children now. Tell you the truth, folks, I do really well when it came to my family. I would say all kinds of kind things. I like my family. I like my wife's family too, just not as much as mine. And then I watch behavior that happened to come out of my children. I watch them dodge phone calls from my mother-in-law. And I went, uh-oh, we got a problem. See, the other reason why this sermon is not real fun, because I have to live part of it and deal with it. And I realized, you know, I've always been honored my mom and dad, but when I got married, I got a new set. And I probably haven't been always as kind and thoughtful as I should about my in-laws. I haven't always honored them with my speech. I've probably have said things that were less than honorable. And now I see behaviors exhibited in children that probably can tie back to what I have said. I don't like the way that looks. I don't necessarily like who's at fault either, because it's me. And my wife, I'll blame her some too. Yeah. I'm going to pay for that later. It's all right. But it's difficult. Keep parents connected to the family. That's how you start restoring the honor in families. But what I also look at, if you're looking at your life and go, you know, my parents are gone and I still have issues with them, follow the steps. At the end of the first service, a lady came by and said, you know what? I need to follow those same steps for a coworker because I just can't stand them. And I find myself talking bad about them. And every time they do something, my heart, it makes me mad and I harbor ill will. All these steps are simply from God's word, things that we need to be doing already with the people in our lives. But today we're going to look at it and apply it to our own families. I did something different first service because first service is a little bit older than this service, just by 30 or 40 years. Just a tad. I stopped. I said, you know, guys, I don't have my last point in my sermon written. Can you help me write it? And I asked a couple questions, understanding that action required the actions required to honor. We have to do something. So how does it look? What kind of actions could your children do to start demonstrating honor, that they honor you? Did you know you can get first service people talking at 8 o'clock in the morning? They got talking so fast that I tried to write them all down, and they got ahead of me. Probably the funniest thing, though, is they met me at the back door. Hey, Joby, I didn't want to say this one out loud. And one, because they had a child in that room. And that one was probably one of my favorites. They go, you know, if kids would just shut up and let their parents speak sometimes, it's not all about them. I'm like, you're right. You're right. Kids need to be quiet sometimes and listen to the wisdom of a parent. But then I hear it also, and I went, okay, parents, maybe you need to be quiet and listen to your kids a little bit. You can learn something. It does go both ways. Obey out of respect is one thing they told me. And I went, well, your kids are old. You know, your kids are 30, 40 years old. Why would they obey you? And said, out of respect, they would at least listen to it. Okay. Be a bridge to the grandchildren. I thought about, grandparents have never been grandparents, just like they were never parents. And they don't know how to be grandparents either. So sometimes we, the parents, need to make a bridge so that grandparents and grandchildren can get together and can spend time together and can get to know each other and can build a relationship. Oh, that's keeping the family connected. That was Jay in the last one. I'm trying to read my writing on this next one. You need to look at your children the way you want them to look back at you. And I understood that because have you ever been around some older people and they treat you like you're a child? And you're like, I'm 45 years old or 50 years old. I'm not a kid. Don't treat your children that way, but don't treat your parents like they're old either. They're just more experienced than you, and their body will not let them have as much fun as you're having. Another one says, kids, you call your mom and dad and ask them to help you and ask their advice. How about sometimes just step up and help them out a little more? Don't make them ask you, and don't put it off till next week if they're wanting it done now. Make time for them. Spend time with them. Remember the legacy that they have left in your life. Your parents have made an imprint on your life. Share that, celebrate that, how they have affected you, and then you could live that in your children also. Be in church on Sunday. Serve the Lord. Love God. Keep connected. Spend time together. And at the very end, a gentleman walked up to me at the back door who never hardly speaks. He said, Joby, if they love the Lord, all of this will take place. So the greatest way you can honor your Heavenly Father, your earthly parents, is by loving God, period. And you do all these things. At the very beginning, I said, this sermon has little to do with anybody else but you and your relationship to God. And we're in a society that we run around and we start doing things our own way and we forget about God. We forget that He is our Heavenly Father. We forget about having a relationship with Him. We forget about spending time with Him. We forget about putting Him first in our lives. And we're so busy about me. So in a moment, I'm going to pray for you guys that you get that balanced. But I also know in an audience of this size, not everybody has a relationship with Jesus Christ. You haven't made the Heavenly Father your Heavenly Father yet. You haven't accepted Him and His gift of forgiveness and a gift of the Holy Spirit through Christian baptism. You haven't. If you want to start restoring that relationship, this is a great day to start. Because if you want to start tomorrow, you will never do it.